All right. Thank you, Lori. And good morning to everyone. It is a pleasure to be with you today and talk about the work that is underway regarding the protocol. So very excited about this initiative of the U.S. cotton industry. And I'll kind of walk through just a bit of a flow chart in terms of building up some of the components, and certainly welcome your comments or questions about the protocol and where it's headed. First part of the protocol, obviously, is going to be a voluntary program that will be require enrollment by the producer. Ted mentioned this earlier when he was given a little bit of an intro of the protocol. We do believe that's going to be a key to the success of the program, is to encourage producers to enroll and participate in the program. So I will show you, as we kind of work through, a few of the mock-ups of the website that is being developed for the protocol. It is still very much a work in progress. I'll mention this later in the presentation, but I'll go ahead and make a comment now in terms of who we are using for the development of the IT infrastructure, and that's a company called The Seam, located in Memphis, Tennessee. And so they've done the work up to this point in the design. Again, when a producer looks at to enroll, he'll come to a welcome screen that'll be very similar to what is shown here. If they've already signed up and want to just go back into and log into the program, then they'll simply enter their username and password. If this is their first time to visit the protocol, then you'll look down in the lower right-hand corner and you'll see button where or the selection Enroll Now, and then that would take them through the initial enrollment process. And as they do that, it's going to ask some very basic information. We're trying to make this hopefully as user-friendly as we can in terms of the information that's collected. Basic information about who the producer is, so identify themselves within the protocol. Selection to go through and ask where their farm or farms are located, and that's essentially getting just the state and county information. Right now there is an opportunity for them to select, obviously, in addition to cotton, since this is a cotton protocol. What other crops do they farm besides cotton? I do think if we just take a view down the road, there's some opportunities perhaps for this to be broader than just cotton, but right now, obviously, it's very much focused on cotton in the initial stages. Then it'll ask some basic farm characteristics, how many acres do they plant. And then the final step of this part of the protocol is simply to create that username and password that they will use as they return back to logging into the protocol. So it's a few basic criteria to go through, information collection process. It will be all online within the system that the SEAM has created. Once they're enrolled, there will be a few components of the program or a few components that they will go through in terms of actually completing the requirements to be a member of the protocol. The first is a self-assessment of questionnaire of best management practices, or we might consider this a standard. And that will also be completed online. The current version is divided into 9 categories, has a little bit over 100 questions. You can see those that fall along the line of soil health, nutrient management, water management, crop protection, harvest prep, wildlife habitat, fiber quality and traceability, farm management, and worker relations. And as they go through and work through the individual sections, those buttons that are shown on the right-hand side will be the icons that can be clicked on as they move through and answer the individual questions. And again, I think the questionnaire has gone through a tremendous amount of vetting up to this point. There's been a lot of work by Cotton Incorporated scientists that have gone into this. Dr. Andy Jordan, who's working a lot with us on this as well, has put a tremendous amount of effort into this. We see this, though, still as an evolving process of looking at what the questionnaire looks like or the self-assessment. But completing that is kind of step one once a producer has gone through the initial enrollment. Just in terms of how that would look, as they go through each section, they can click on the section. It will pop up the questions that are under each section. As they go through and collect those or answer those questions, essentially have 4 choices. I do this now on most of my fields. I'm trying this on one or more fields. I will consider in the next 3 years, or it's not appropriate or applicable for their area or operation. They do have the opportunity to add comments around their answer. Those comments are not required, but there is an opportunity to add comments. And then as those answers are clicked on and selected in each case, they'll have basically a progress bar that you can see up at the top there that has the number of boxes in that progress bar corresponds to the number of questions within each section, gives a producer feedback in terms of how far along they are in the questionnaire. And so again, they will be able to move between. They can complete part of a section, complete it all. They'll be able to jump back and forth. If they get partway through the questionnaire without filling out all of it, it's automatically saved and updated as they're progressing through it, so none of that information is lost. As they enroll back in, it'll pick back up to where they were when they left. So the self-assessment standard is one component that will be filled out. I'll relate this to the national goals in just a minute. Let me go on and talk about the second part of the protocol, and that is an agreement by the producer that they are using either the field print calculator or one of the qualified data partners. And so we do, in addition to them monitoring their best management practices through the questionnaire, we also want them tracking their actual data through the field print calculator or the qualified data partner. So as Jesse mentioned earlier, the goal that we have established in terms of the number of acres that are using those data products, and it is some, you know, hopefully some aggressive goals as we look to the future, we see that as a key component of, if you're doing the other components, that they will be a part of those acres can be a part of the protocol as well. So we do see that as core to the protocol, just as it is core to the national goals that we've established. You'll hear more, I'm sure, about this about the tool as we hear from Lexi on field to market. But again, we are going to require those producers to either use the field print calculator or one of the qualified data management partners. And so we know we have growers out there now doing some combination of those. And so those are going to be those qualified data management partners will also be acceptable, whether it be LandDB, Agrible, or products such as MyFarms. So that would be, and in terms of the protocol, in the structure as we look at it, it is simply an acknowledgement that the producer is using those data tools. We know those data tools, they reside in their own separate platform. We're not looking to pull that information into the protocol. We're simply asking the producer, which of those tools are you using? We know they already have their own separate platform or data tool that those tools are operating in. We just simply want a confirmation that they're using those tools. Now, I will get to the verification component in a bit, so there will be somebody coming back and checking that answer. But within the protocol, it is simply asking, which data tool are you using? And then the final step for the producer to complete essentially the requirements of the protocol is a statement of commitment. So simply a commitment by the producer to responsible production practices that would include, you know, health, safety, and environmental awareness. So essentially a commitment to continuous improvement as we move forward. This is just a mock-up that we've used right now, final wording yet to be done, but that would be the final component that the producer acknowledges that they're making a commitment toward continuous improvement by being a member of the protocol. So really we look at those three components: enroll in the protocol, complete the self-assessment questionnaire, acknowledge and be using one of the either the field print calculator or qualified data partner, and then complete the statement of commitment. And that essentially then would have the producer enrolled in the protocol. Now, another key component in this is an issue that we have heard as we have gone through the work of the Sustainability Task Force, been mentioned earlier by both Ted and Jesse, in terms of some type of second party or third party verification. And that would be a component of the producers that are in the protocol, and it would the verifier would come back and actually obviously make sure that the producer, they would review the answers that are given in the questionnaire, make sure the requirements of the protocol have been completed, and then it would require truly getting to a third-party verification, an independent verification that would be done on a random sampling basis, where it would involve that verification in part being done electronically or online. The verifier can log in and essentially evaluate the answers the producer's given, but at some point would have to sit down with a producer and require a farm visit. Let me talk about one other component of the protocol, and that is what we refer to as aggregators. Simply kind of a term that came out of the discussions within the task force about participation of aggregators and their role to help us get producers enrolled in the program. And what do we mean when we refer to somebody as an aggregator? Nothing magical about that term. But we see those as groups or organizations or companies who are touch points with producers, who have contact with producers, who have an interest in having producers enrolled in the protocol, that can be used as a conduit to help enroll producers into the program. And I just put up a few that could serve as aggregators. And merchandising firms, whether they be marketing cooperatives within the cotton industry or private merchants. We know they're already engaged in sustainability initiatives now. We have representatives from both marketing cooperatives and private merchants that participate on the task force. They have a strong interest in where the protocol is headed. So we do see them as somebody that can be used to reach out to producers to help talk about the importance of having producers participate in the program and then help to enroll those producers. And we see them also as, if they have producers enrolled, they could serve as that second party verification. So they could be coming behind those producers that are enrolled and affiliated with a particular aggregator and do some type of spot checks and checking of the information, make sure the various components of the protocol have been completed. We also see those aggregators, particularly those with merchandising firms, as somebody who can continually go back to producers with reminders and say, you know, you've gotten most of the components done, but you haven't completed all of them, and try to make sure that they get producers all the way through all the steps. So those merchandising firms could be somebody. Other touch points with producers, a gin or a warehouse, would be other candidates to serve as an aggregator. Industry organizations would be another likely, whether it be a local producer interest organization, for example, that may be interested in working with producers and enrolling them. Well, I think we see an opportunity as brands and retailers become more engaged with producers and farm-level activities is to have a brand or retailer be involved as an aggregator. And then producers that may be using, say, a field print project with a particular brand and retailer, if they would also do the other components of the protocol, the self-assessment and the letter of commitment, this would be a way to essentially enroll those projects in the protocol as well. I think there's some opportunities for that. But we do see the aggregators being a key to success in terms of producer enrollment. The next part I'll talk about is in terms of how this will support the industry goals. Jesse talked in great detail about the goals that we have established, 10-year goals, in terms of those improvements in environmental indicators. Well, how do we measure progress, or how can we show that the industry is being proactive in terms of achieving those goals? Obviously, the expanded use of the field print calculator is one component then that can be built into the protocol. So hopefully, enrollment in the protocol, expansion of use of the protocol, is a way to achieve those 10-year goals. I think also as we get more and more producers enrolled in the protocol and we have a substantial population of those self-assessment questionnaires that have been completed, and as we see those completed one year after the next, can we look at trends? Can we look at those results in aggregate? You know, in terms of, say, percentage of producers that say they're doing this practice now. Can we identify areas where there's potential opportunities to improve? Evaluating that data in aggregate, not the farmer-specific data, but evaluating and presenting in aggregate, hopefully can give us some intermediate steps or intermediate measures to say these are ways that the industry is trying to move toward those national goals. Believe this participation in the protocol is going to give us that opportunity as well. Finally, one of the last components as we just kind of work through where the protocol could be headed would be, how is information conveyed out of the protocol into the textile supply chain? Because we've heard from the textile supply chain, you know, there are some that will require or want to see information that can be passed through the supply chain. That's a flexibility we want to add to the protocol at some point in time. We want to respond to the needs of our end-use customers. Our initial focus is obviously on these first components. We've got to get it right as we look at those parts that are directly related to the producer, because without producer interaction and without producer participation, this has no chance of success. But eventually, as we build this out, we also want to look at what data can come out of the protocol that can be passed in some aggregate manner to the textile supply chain. And again, this is one we're continuing to look at in terms of the types of traceability that may be required. What does it take to be to meet the needs of the customer along those lines? So we're keeping that flexible, but that's certainly a component of this that will continue to be fleshed out as we move forward. It is a work in progress. We are going to be doing some pilot testing with the protocol in 2019. And so that is our goal as we look to, particularly as we look toward the summer months. We're doing some internal testing. We'll be doing a little bit more testing with select groups of producer leadership as we move through the remainder of the winter and into the spring. But then look at, I would anticipate by the time we get out into the summer, be ready to talk about enrollment in a pilot program on a little bit broader basis in 2019, with hopefully being in a position to really try to ramp efforts up by moving into 2020. So continuing to seek input. I'm sure that as we get to version 1.0 up and running, as we go forward, we'll be looking at how version 2.0 and 3.0 may change. But again, the expectation is to continue this development and then move forward in a pilot-type program later this year. So with that, that's a brief overview. I'm glad to see if we have time for a question or two.
Yeah, we
Lori?
Any
questions or comments? No, I got other staff here that have done a tremendous amount of work on the protocol as well. So any other comments that they may want to throw out?
The aggregators that you mentioned,
yes.
So will they do this voluntarily as far as
the, yes,
to follow up with these producers?
Yes, I mean, it would be yeah, I mean, everything here would be voluntary in terms of the participation in the program, whether it be at the individual producer level, if just an individual producer wants to enroll, or whether it be one of these companies or an aggregator that would like to be involved as well. Now, obviously, the integrity of the program is only going to be as good as the participants are willing to follow through in all the requirements. But yes, we see those aggregators as being one to help follow up with their individual producers, and we are also, as we've talked about, the notifications that can go out once you have a producer enrolled, if they're, say, they get part of the way through the steps of the enrollment or completing the information, there's going to be opportunities to have periodic emails or texts that can go out and reach out to those and reach out to the aggregator as well and say, you know, you're this far into it, you need to come back in and complete information, or it's time to take the next step. It might be a reminder once we move into a new year that it's time now to start the process for enter data for the coming year. So I think we can, as the calendar moves along, we can use the protocol and the IT infrastructure to send out those reminders as well. Adam. Well, I think one of the big benefits is, you know, we see this as an opportunity, particularly from the standpoint of maintaining markets for U.S. cotton. We know we hear some, we'll hear cases because of the requirements in the textile supply chain that may not be looking for U.S. cotton. They may be looking at for other growths because of, you know, a perceived lack of sustainability. So I do think this is going to be a benefit that it's going to hopefully make sure that we keep as broad a demand base as we can for the producer's cotton. We're not going to talk about market premiums associated with this. That's not something we want to talk about. However, I think one of the benefits that we want producers to realize from this is, and this is still one of the components that needs to be developed, is a way to provide critical feedback to producers. That's once somebody has enrolled in the protocol and that producer goes back into the protocol and he looks at his results and can compare them and see a comparison to the results, say, within producers in his geographic area. So is there a way for him to look at as a comparison, this is how you're doing, this is how, say, your population of your neighbors are doing? Are there some areas where areas where there's room for improvement? And so that the producer can get some feedback and say, okay, if I can look at these opportunities, if they're applicable, then it has the ability to hopefully improve his bottom line. Are there some places where maybe he's not as efficient as he can be? It's not always going to work for producers, but I think that's one of the critical things, too, is how can we give some feedback once a producer's in the protocol that says, okay, here's how I compare. Here's some opportunities for improvement. Yes, sir. Out of the protocol or within, say, Andy, I don't know if you want to take this question.
There are a couple of ways. One is self-assessment. There are opportunities to demonstrate some of the choices you make. The other is in the calculator itself. It's built into that if you're using certain forms or methods of application, it moves the needle on the greenhouse gases and energy and so on. So
I think as we look down the road, too, in terms of, you know, further iterations of the protocol, how do we, you know, is it going to be possible to access some of the data within those data tools so that we can show here's how our producers' metrics may look compared to a broader population of metrics? So some of that information may be helpful as well. Jesse, do you want to add something? Well, I think in terms of how we speak about it to a broader audience, we're looking at this as a way to reinforce the message about U.S. cotton. We're not looking for, okay, that this is this producer compared to another producer. We see it as a way to move the needle on those national goals. And so that's always how we're going to talk about the information is we're trying to get enough producers, a critical mass of producers participating in this, so that we can say at a national level we're actually moving the needle and moving things forward. So as we talk about it, it's never region versus region, because it's, and as you know, it gets tough to say one region, quote unquote, one producer is better than another or region's better than another, because there's so much variation between the production practices at work, the agronomic conditions, the yield potential. Yes, Larkin. I think it's not now, but I think it's very right. I think that's a very it is something we have talked about. You're right. I think that's a very good one, Larkin. In terms of this could be another one of those positive feedbacks to producers. And can we take it so far as to say, okay, if here's currently your farming practices. If these other alternatives were applicable, and we're not trying to. Last thing we want to do is tell a farmer how to farm, because we'll mess that up. But we want to throw options out there, and it could have this impact. It could be this much on the bottom line. And I think that's where we have to really try to give that critical feedback to producers, is to say, we can't help your output price. The market's going to be where the market's going to be, but maybe there are ways to help the bottom line.